Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene, Monday, September 19th, 2011.
Board member Arthur Levitt, more digital toys than any grown man I've ever seen. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Arthur.
I hope you download Bloomberg Radio Plus on your iPhone today.
But of course.
We just put it out and we're very proud of it. Okay, Acaro and our team, they've been working on it for over a year. And I must admit, I am excited about it. Arthur, over the weekend, where I was, the moment I heard about UBS, I said, back office. I went back, and I'm going to write about this on Econo Chat tonight. There's literally, in the SocGen scandal of 3 years ago, paragraphs that could be transferable to today because this guy had back office experience.
Absolutely. And the same holds true for a half a dozen other activities similar to this in the past. The back office is a mysterious area to many leaders of firms who really don't understand it. And believe me, leaders of UBS are going to pay a price for this, without a question. Their management is going to be impacted. The obvious new head of the firm who came from Goldman Sachs, a guy named Kengster, I would bet against his getting the job. People will lose their jobs on this.
Arthur, you were at Shearson for years. How simple is it to just say anyone that ever worked in the back office can't work in the trenches? I mean, to me, it's just blatantly obvious.
Well, I don't know exactly what you mean by that.
Somebody, he was promoted out of the back office onto the trading desk, knowing all the systems so he could set up fictitious trades or unhedged trades.
I don't think it would work. Too many good people have back office experience, and too few leaders of firms have back office experience. If the people who ran UBS had back office experience, this might have been less likely to occur.
Well, Arthur, you would think that after the last scandal a few years ago, everybody would have gotten wise and implemented some plans to try to prevent this.
This is tough to prevent. It really is. A really clever fraudster in that position, unless someone is really standing over them, and more people are standing over them, it's very hard to uncover this kind of fraud. Clearly, there were management and systems breakdowns here, and people are going to pay the price. Shareholders simply will not allow business as usual at UBS.
Arthur, many, many other topics to talk about out there now. Europe just seems to be getting closer and closer to some precipice. What is the institutional effort you would like to see to get Europe to get on a path to be solved?
I think the most important thing that Europe could do would be to coordinate with the United States and not attempt to compete against us for regulatory arbitrage. Almost every scheme that Europe comes up with is based on let's not lose business to the United States. This has got to be a global settlement. And up to now, every notion of ours, every notion of theirs, has tried to give our own country an edge. That's not going to work in this world. And I think that it's well and fine to say that austerity is important and the banks have got to have more capital. But those are just bywords. More capital 15 years from now, or more capital in the realizable future, and how does that capital relate to what U.S. banks are being forced to do? There's got to be a sense of coherence, and the one thing that I'd really like to see them do is mark to the market. The banks must tell what they've got on their books in terms of bad loans, and they're not doing it there, and they're not doing it here.
Later this morning at the White House, President Obama is going to announce, it's called the Buffett Plan, Warren Buffett's op-ed a few weeks ago calling for higher taxes on the likes of him. Is that the right way to go here, Arthur?
It's not the right way politically, in my judgment. this country isn't ready for a wealth tax yet, but this sense of unfairness and thousands of people paying no taxes at all is something that grates on the souls and minds of most Americans. So I think what we're going to see is tax reform, which gets at that issue, and some of the favored benefits that come to people of wealth will no longer be there. It may be limiting certain kinds of deductions. It may be limiting the deduction on the tax on municipal bonds.
Well, Arthur, Lori Montgomery, and I'm going to feature this in EconoChat, Richard Rubin of Bloomberg News, and Lori Montgomery over the Washington Post wrote some terrific articles on this. The answer is we don't want to cap tax preferences because it directly affects the broad middle class, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does.
And so instead, Mr. Buffett's going to go after, I mean, can you convince me that investment incentives will be okay if we go after those that are putting the vast majority of their savings into investment?
No. And it's a relatively small number, but the gap between rich and poor is so great that this kind of populist proposal sometimes gains great traction, and before you know it, we have it.
Well, let's leave it there. Arthur Levitt, thank you. Great perspective. Greatly appreciate that.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2011.